Yeah, short takes. Our topic today is how do I make the changes in my life? How do things change when I'm going to move closer to God? And right off the bat, if you grab your note sheet, this isn't in there, but just so you can sort of see it on the slides, religion says change and you can join us. Jesus says join us and you'll change. And I want to weave today through the talk sort of about East Lake Church, why we're here, what our existence is, and that sums it up pretty well. We believe all different types of people can be in this church and participate in this church, serve in this church. This is a church for everyone. And the hope is that you can join, and as you're joined, different things change in your life. This isn't a church, and Jesus never had the message that do a bunch of changes, and then if you measure up, you can come and be with me. That's religion. And we're not a very religious place. We are a place, though, that point to Jesus and have a relationship with him. If we were to sort of sum it all up, it's the big idea. It's our little phrase that we have. Write it in your notes. People helping people find and follow Jesus, the center of it. So understanding that it's as we move towards Jesus that change happens. He didn't tell anybody he had to change before they could be with him. And today we're going to look at a story in the Bible that sort of gets to the point of how does the change occur? Now, do a little side note somewhere. At East Lake, we believe change is a process. So you can come as you are, but the good news is you don't have to stay as you are. And wouldn't that be the worst if Jesus accepted you and welcomed you to be with him, but nothing changed in your life, nothing got any better, it was not any different? So the whole point of it is you get to be with Jesus right off, but then the different things that you know and I do that we want to see different in our life, those can change. And it's a process. We're going to look at that today. We call it find and follow. Let me read it. It's in your notes. You can follow along. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, also called Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed him. Now in this story, it's give us sort of an idea of what this process looks like. How do you start the process to move closer to Jesus? And then what does it look like as you do? And the first one, and you can write it in your notes, is watch and listen. Just write it in there. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God, watching and listening. This crowd of people that had come around, and please catch this, our faith is an informed faith. It's not a blind faith. If you've ever been a part of a church or some organization and you were told, listen, just believe it and don't ask any questions, that's not what it is to find Jesus. Our faith is an informed faith. It's a faith that is filled with information. And Jesus is here and this big crowd comes around him and they're all just watching and listening and trying to gather information to find out who is he and what's he all about and what's happening. And for East Lake Church, you should know this is a safe place for people that have questions. So if you have friends or family and they have all sorts of questions or doubts or they're not sure what they think about God, this is a safe place to process questions. We do church this way so people could come in here, the clips, the music, everything, the way we are with each other. So someone could come in here that has tons of questions and feel completely safe. Not feel less than because they don't have it figured out. Have questions that they think would be embarrassing or other people might look down on them. Not here. If you have friends or family or you yourself have questions, this is a very safe place for you to process what's happened with you and God in the past, what people have told you. What are you going to think now? I'm sure in this crowd, like most crowds, there's all different types of people from different perspectives. They have different value systems, different ideas on life, and different ideas on their priorities, and their ideas about God are different, and that's how crowds are. And Jesus is eager to be with them and their questions and wanting to watch and listen. Do you know, we are living in a culture that is rapidly pressuring us to say that the only way you can be together is if you agree on everything. And I'm not talking about just church. We're living in a culture that's pressuring us to believe that the only way you can have unity is that you agree on everything. Everybody's in their own little camps when it comes to politics or social issues, or should people stand or not stand, you know, at the football games. And if we don't agree with each other, this is the pressure in our culture now, then we can't be with each other. And listen, please know this. We're not depending on agreement to be able to be unified. We're depending on acceptance and love. At East Lake, you don't have to agree with everything here to come to the church. You don't have to sign anything. You don't have to think that everything that goes on here you agree with or that it was right up your alley. That's not important here. Here, agreement is awesome if it happens, but it's not critical to being able to be together. And you know, when you go to a church or you're in an organization, everybody looks the same and they dress the same and they talk the same, and it seems like everybody agrees. The truth is usually they don't. About half the people are just faking it so they won't get in trouble. Agreement does not create unity. It creates uniformity, which is very different. Acceptance and love creates a strong sense of unity that says we don't even have to agree on everything, and we can still be together. Why? We see Jesus with this crowd, watching and listening, watching and listening, watching and listening. If I were to say to you today, we walk out today and we're walking through the theater, please tell people when you get a chance, that's not a weirdo church because they meet in a theater. Because I know it's so weird for people. They drive around on Sundays and they look for East Lake and they're so certain that it must be around where this theater is, so where because certainly a church would meet in a theater. Well, we like popcorn. And it's the only place we can find big enough. And so just tell people, listen, give it a try. We have cup holders and coffee and a big screen. Maybe you might like it. But if I were to tell you today, you're walking through the theater today, and I stopped you and I said, hey, listen, meet me down at Walmart in 15 minutes. The first thing that would probably go through your mind and then that would come out of your mouth is, what for? That's what this crowd is looking to Jesus. They're trying to get to Jesus, and when it comes to God, they're asking themselves what for. Probably the only thing this crowd has in common is they want more information about God, and they're looking to Jesus to find it, and that's East Lake. We're hoping this place would be filled with people that would go, what for? And we'd say, welcome. Come on in. Process. Has tons of questions. Good, safe place for you to find out what for. And that's the process, by the way. People start there when they're trying to find, they have questions and old hurts and they need explanations and they're processing, number one. Look at number two and write it in your notes. Take a small, uncomfortable step. Jesus now, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon called Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. I like the, you know, that Ricky Bobby, if you have, I mean, I know it's probably weird, they played that in church, but yes, we did. But I mean, I like that video because it makes you laugh, but when you think about it, doesn't that look a lot like life when you've had a crash in life somewhere? Relationships, money, a job, a crash somewhere. It is hard to even put the helmet on again. It is very difficult to get back in the car. And when you're in the car, it doesn't feel like the last time you were in the car before the crash. It does feel like everything's different. It's a small, uncomfortable step. Every open door starts with a small turn of the doorknob. Small, uncomfortable step. And he says to Peter, he says, would you, you know, allow me to borrow one of your boats for a couple hours? I won't even take it out of your sight. And would you push me out of ways? And I'm sure Peter's thinking, come on. Can't you see I'm working here? When is the last time someone asked you, and no elbowing, someone asked you to do something and it was super small, but it just was a hassle to you? They ask you to do something, and you knew it wasn't that big of a thing. You're just like, I know this isn't so big, but do you ever struggle with the, I don't want to? And they say, well, give me a good reason. You're like, I don't have one other than I don't want to. Because you don't have a good reason because it's super small. Peter, can I borrow one of your boats? I'm just going to go right over there. Could you push me out a little bit? And I'm sure Peter's thinking, I don't want to. I'm cleaning the nets, man. Miller time is right around the corner. I'm done for the day. Can't you see? This is over now. Uncomfortable step. And that's part of the process, by the way. You get information, you get information, you get information, you get information. And at some point, Jesus will approach you in your life and say, would you take just an uncomfortable step with me? Not a big one. Just an uncomfortable one. In starting to have a relationship with him. I thought about, wouldn't it be cool if Jesus at that point with Peter could have had a big screen TV come down, because we never know for sure what hangs in the balance when we do an uncomfortable small step. What if he had a big screen TV down? I brought some pictures, and all of a sudden Jesus had this big screen come down, and you know, here's this picture. He says to Peter, Peter, someday that's going to be your tomb. That's St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. And he's buried underneath that. What if Jesus were to just in a flash say to Peter, Peter, someday you're going to be so significant on how you help people move closer to God. Someday they're going to build something like this, and they're going to name it after you, Peter. I mean, look at the majesty of this. Like, check out the next picture of it. Look at that. The basilica. It is the largest church building in the world, and it took 100 years to build, Peter. And Peter, they're going to call you St. Peter. Now, I know you don't understand that now. You don't have any idea what that means, but they're going to call you St. Peter. You're going to be so famous for everything you've done. Peter, look at the inside of this building, how gorgeous it is. Peter, this small, uncomfortable step, I'm just asking you to take a small, it's going to result in this, Peter. But it never happens that way, does it? He comes and he said, would you let me borrow your boat and push it out a little ways, and we get to decide. We never know what's hanging in the balance when we take a small, uncomfortable step with Jesus. We never know. And it's always a part of the process. And it's always appropriate for more. And it always will create just enough stretch, but not too much stretch. A small, uncomfortable step. Now, number three. He's with Peter and he says, do the same thing different. So the first thing we said was that this is an okay place to question. The second thing we said is a small, uncomfortable step. And by the way, in that, where does Eastlake fit? We celebrate small, uncomfortable steps in each other's lives. Please understand this. Life is not always a touchdown. And if the only time we get encouraged, if the only time we get compliments, is the only time anybody ever says anything good about me, is when I score a touchdown, it won't happen very consistently. So at Eastlake, we celebrate small, uncomfortable. When we see each other do something, we know it's not that big of a thing. It's just a small thing. But it's like, way to go. I had someone not too long ago call and tell me a small, uncomfortable step, and I've been tracking it to give them compliments because I want them to know that every part of the process matters as much as any other part of the process, even the small, uncomfortable steps. Now, number three, do the same thing different. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Because you say so, I'll let down the nets. So Jesus gets done with this sermon, and he asks Peter to take him fishing. And I'm sure now Peter's thinking, and maybe I was all like this in your life, Peter's thinking, now you're really pushing it. Because in case you haven't noticed Jesus, we have already cleaned all of the nets, and that's no small process. Those nets are as big as this whole front area here. And they had to stretch them out over the ground and pull all their crap out of them, crud that got in them from the day. And there's, you know, they got to clean them out and dry them and get them all ready. Then they roll them up and get them ready for the next time. And they're all done. And he said, oh, by the way, could we go fishing? And we don't know what Peter's thinking, but he's probably thinking, Jesus, you know, that was a great sermon and everything, but you are clearly a carpenter. and not a fisherman. Because in that lake, that's a deep, deep, big, huge lake. And all of the fish at night, Peter said, we've been fishing all night. When the water cools down, they come up to feed. And so you can catch them with a big net. But during the day, when it gets hot, they go down low where the water is cool. And you cannot catch them. And Jesus said, will you take me fishing? And Peter's probably done it 1,000 times. What have you tried to do over and over and over and over again? You're finally done. You're like, I'm done with that. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm all finished with that. Well, did it turn out like you wanted to? I don't even care anymore. I'm so freaking done. And Jesus comes and says, would you be willing to do the same thing you've done before, but would you be willing to do it differently this time? Differently. It's amazing what happens with Peter in this particular part of the process. He's thinking through, you know, can he or can he not, can he or can he not. And all of a sudden, this is what he says to him. He says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. And before that occurred, he had said, because you said so to Jesus. So before he goes out there and they do anything at all, He says to Jesus, listen, it's daytime. I don't believe this is going to work. I don't see how this can possibly turn out. But Jesus, because you said so, I'm willing to do it. And listen, that comes at some point in the process where something that you've done over and over again, and Jesus wants you to do it again, this time his way, and all you'll have at that moment is this trust crisis. Do I trust him enough? Because all Peter has is, because you said so. My history tells me it's not going to work out. Logic tells me it's not going to work out. All I have to go on in this third phase of the process is because you said so. And then, of course, this is what happens when they had done so. Would you write in your notes, they didn't say when they talked about it, when they prayed about it, when they discussed it, when they had done so. Write this in your notes. Doing makes the difference. Doing makes the difference. It doesn't say when they discussed it a lot, when they prayed about it a lot, when they talked about it a lot. Doing, when they had done so, the big outcome occurred. In this phase, Jesus asks Peter, would you be willing to do it again? When you become Christian, you have the same job, same parents, same wife, same kids, same bills, same, same, same. Nothing changes. It's all different. I go to the same job every day. I have the same issues. Why is it different? And let me ask you a question. If this had been you in the story, and you get over that hurdle and you say, okay, Jesus, because you said so, I'll do it. And all these fish show up and it's like crazy, you know, 2 boatloads fill. I don't know about you, but the first thing I'd have been thinking is, cha-ching. I mean, my mind would have gone directly to, whoa, this is awesome. And I'd be thinking about what I'm going to buy and, you know, where I'm going to spend that money. And I mean, how would you have been? I mean, what happens for you? Like, you just get this huge thing. Like, you have this breakthrough with God, and it turns out this way. You're like, this is awesome. You know, this is totally good. What would your response have been? Listen to Peter's response. It's interesting. Get the scene now. I took a trust step because you said so, and it worked. All this stuff happened. And listen to Peter's response. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. What a odd response to this miracle. Do you know in this phase right here, do the same thing different? In that phase, when you get to the place, I've listened. Oh, I did a small uncomfortable steps. And then he comes and says, your marriage, the way you parent, the way you do your finances, the way you show up as a boss, the way you show up as an employee, the way you show up as a brother, the way you show up as an uncle, the same things you do day after day is going to be different now with me. The outcome, the best thing about Peter lands on it, it is the phase where the relationship gets closer. And here's what Peter discovered. He doesn't even talk about the fish. Here's what he discovers. He goes, whoa. You're the Lord? This is not the first time he's seen Jesus. He's been with him for several hours on this day. And after this part of the phase, where he says, okay, I'll trust you if you say so. The result is, whoa, you're God. You're the Lord. Like in this phase, you see who Jesus is, and Peter sees who he is. Here's you're God, and I'm a sinner. And it seems like you still want to be with me. He's like right on the edge. Should I run away? Should I hide? Should I tell you to leave? Like in this phase, that's what you discover. This is the phase that you no longer fear your own sin any longer. Because you know that you won't be alone when it's revealed. You know that there'll be power to deal with it. You know that there'll be a change that can occur. All of a sudden, Peter, he's like, you're God, and I got sins. And you know what? I think this is going to work out. I think this is what it's really all about. In this phase, same thing I do every time, but this time, you know the biggest difference for Peter? He finds out this is the big, big difference. Go fish again. I've done that 1,000 times. This is the biggest, biggest difference. This time when he gets in the boat, Jesus is in the boat too. And from now on, Jesus will be in the boat. And everything he faces, everything that comes up, he'll always be doing it with him. It's in this phase. Now, fourth phase. Give Jesus all access pass. Give him an all access pass. Have you ever been fortunate enough to have one of those at a concert event? It means you get to go anywhere you want to. You go backstage. You have a pass that says you go anywhere you want to. Nobody can stop you. Go wherever you want. This is what it looks like in this story. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. All access pass. So I brought an example of what this looks like today. I thought this would be a pretty good one. I've got two different things. So I have this. And I have this bowl. Now, a lot of times when you get to the fourth phase, you show up looking like this right here. You have compartments and you have different areas of your life that you store things in. And some of the areas are open to everybody. They have an all-access pass, including God. And then the other areas get more and more private. And then there's some areas on here that nobody ever gets to talk to me about. I try to keep it a secret. These are off areas. It's like, you know, the really, really super special dessert in that one, don't you dare touch it. You know, we have things in our life like that. We separate them and they're aside and nobody has access to that, including Jesus. Those are private. They're almost like sacred cows. Do you have any sacred cows? It's a sacred cow and it's sacred because you protect it so nothing happens to it. You don't want that cow to die. That's my cow. And nobody gets to talk to me about that cow, not even God. And I protect that cow. I got a little spot for it. Then there's this way to live. It's all mixed together. Everything's flavored together. And when Jesus jumps in this, he flavors the whole bowl. You can't keep him out, but you don't want to keep him out anymore. You've already had your phase where you said, I get it. You're God and I'm a sinner and you're staying. You're not running off like all the other people in my life when they found out the worst stuff about me or they ignored me or looked down upon me. I'm starting to get it. And when you move into this phase, you usually show up like this because there's some sacred cows, some stuff you've hidden. It's way set aside. But when you get to this phase right here and you show up like this, this becomes the option. All in. Go wherever you want, Jesus. Talk about whatever you want. And let me give you an idea, too. The area that you are the most ashamed of, most secretive, that's not always where God starts. Trust him to begin wherever he feels is the best spot. Because a lot of times what I found in my life, the part that I'm guarding the most, he doesn't even talk to me about that. I'm like, Jesus, when are you going to come and talk to me about that really bad sin? And he's completely onto something else. And in hindsight, I realize, like, oh, I get it. Your Lord. You know where to start in my life. And so that's the choice in the fourth phase. Do I live like this? And if I do, I'll usually phase out. or do I live like this? Now, that's the question today, because in this crowd and in that crowd, there's people at all different spots. Some of you are just watching, and you're watching, and you're watching, and don't be afraid to watch, and don't be afraid to ask questions, don't be afraid to pray. Great, safe church for you here. These people are safe to process with. Some are an uncomfortable step. Write in your notes the bottom line, what's your next step in the process? And I have the numbers there that you can check. This isn't about, you know, trying to measure up. This isn't freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year. That's not what this is about. This is a process. The first phase is no better or worse than the last. All that matters is, where are you? Watching and asking questions. Then the answer becomes, do you have enough information? And are you in the other phase right now? It's an uncomfortable small step. It's not that you don't have enough information. It's not that you're not okay. It's just, I don't want to. It's a hassle. Or the third one, and this is a huge one, because this is the trust phase, where he comes and says, I want you to do something that you've done before. I want you to do the same thing, but do it differently now. For some of you, that might mean worship, because you come into a place like this and the music's going and you sing in the shower and you sing in the car and you go to maybe sang karaoke one time and thought you were so good, which you weren't, because that was actually the real person singing that you were mimicking. And, you know, have you ever seen anybody that's singing along with like their phone and they have headphones on and they're like, ah, they think they sound so good. And you're like, that is like a dog whelping. But they think in their mind they're so good because they're singing, you know, singing. Every single Sunday, you have in this place, you have a chance to come in and do the same thing differently. You have a chance to turn singing into worship. Every single Sunday. For some of you, that's where you need to be. You come in, you stand, you listen, you think, oh, look, he's so good up there, and they sing, and that's so cool. And you hum along a little bit, and you're just singing, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you get to the place where it's an uncomfortable step, you start to worship. And that's really different. Start to worship. And then the last phase. You know that this is what awaits you, and you want it. But there's some sacred cow that's holding you back. All right, let's stand up together. Hey, I want to especially invite you to that one-on-one thing. It's really cool. I teach that along with my son, one of the other leaders here. It lasts about an hour, 15 minutes. Lunch is free. If you've ever wondered, like, why do they do what they do at this church, gosh, that's the time to get there. So that's free. It'll be really cool. If you bow your heads, I want to say a prayer for each and every one of us. Lord, we're all in different sorts of processes and phases. And thank you that your church, not just this church, your church is a safe place to process, to become closer to you, that we move closer to you in a process, that you're patient with us and you move us along. And at just the right time, you provide this great sort of step for us to take. And let me give you a moment to just think for a second. What did you circle on the paper? What's your next step? Where do you need to move to with him? And you can feel it. I don't have to tell you what it is, because you know what it is. You know the topic or the choice. And like Peter, we say, Lord. We're sinners. But it seems like you want to be with us. And that makes all the difference. We're thankful, Jesus. Amen. Hey, have a great week. I'm glad you're at East Lake. See ya.